Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tell me, did you see that? I couldn't look away. I don't know where I'm going. It's a journey, not a race. It's been coming for so long, honey, I can't wait. Desperate as it may seem, there's a place somewhere for you, for me. Your breath for me.
put us like a bottom track.
Put a what?
Like a bottom track.
Yeah.
Of just music.
Yeah, it's just kind of.
And we not even know.
Smooth jazz.
And we not even know what's fucking playing in the background.
Elevator music.
Yeah, just shit. That would be hilarious.
And Maroon 5 is on in the background.
Yeah, Maroon 5 instrumental.
Yeah.
Nine piece.
Yeah. We got the Roots. So, aha.
Aha.
When you first said that, I was confused. I didn't know if you was like Liquid Death had made like a collaboration with the band Aha or what you were talking about.
Yeah, you know, you would think it would be something cool, but no, it's just sparkling water.
Does it make you say that after you take a sip? It's just refreshing.
No, fuck no. That sucks.
It's kind of like the same thing with White Claw to me. It's been said 100 times. It's like drinking TV static and someone screaming a flavor from a room away.
I don't know that I've ever heard that description, but I fucking love it.
I think that's it.
Yeah. No, that's it. Static and just a slight hint of flavor.
Yeah, just a touch. No, we don't want to get too carried away around here.
You don't want to just make it, you don't want to think you're drinking something that tastes good.
Yeah, because if it tastes good, obviously it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But say, like, when you go out, you'll drink those instead of just pounding water?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. I love them.
What do you think it is? It's like it's got that kind of carbonation where it sits a little bit heavier on you?
It's a little heavier. It's not. It doesn't have any calories, you know, alcohol. So it's a nice substitute.
Yeah.
I don't like non-alcoholic beer. Do not. Absolutely do not. I know Munson's got some great craft non-alcoholic beer.
We just got a IPA that is non-alcoholic.
I know, and I can't.
I want to try it, and I was like, if I drink three of these, I bet I could trick my mind. You're hammered, buddy. You are hammered.
I can't do the non-alcoholic beer. I don't want to tell him that, but I can't. It's too close.
Yeah.
I tried down non-alcoholic that path. Beer. I tried it, and I was... After,
what do you think about like the sparkling ciders and stuff like that?
I almost got willing to try the ranch water when it was big.
Ranch?
Yeah, you know the ranch water when it came out?
Like the
fucking, you know, it was like, I don't know, some kind of seltzer or something. I don't know.
I thought we was talking about like Hidden Valley ranch water.
No, it was ranch water. It got big for like 3 months over the summer or something.
And what, they find like shit in it? Or
no,
something?
I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared. Nobody's talking about it. But I was very intrigued by it. I almost wanted to take a sip just to see what it was about.
Obviously, yeah. You got to, right?
Yeah, and then that would fuck me up. You know, I'd have to make phone calls and shit.
Oh. Before we open this up.
Holy fuck, you've been recording?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The classic.
I didn't even know you were recording. Usually I know when you start recording because I watch you.
Yeah.
But.
Caught you off guard.
Caught me off guard this time.
Flash arrives. We simply says this. All of our loved ones, if Jesus were to come tonight, before you and I. The gospel and you don't feel anything, then you are in your most dangerous position.
Well, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And you hear him, you know him. I got Big John.
What up, guys?
What it do? Oh, cool day.
Yeah, it was a good day, man. It was a good day.
Got you some art.
I bought some art today. Got to see some cool art.
The process of how it's done. Did you catch all that?
The process is so cool, man. I got to catch the tail end when they were, you know, like cooking it in the sun or whatever.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
She's got a, what they did is like called a Kaina form, something of that effect. The previous episode
y'all go in depth on it a little bit.
As much as I felt was appropriate, because when you have something visual like that, it's like you can only talk about it so much before you're like kind of lost in the weeds, I think.
Yeah, you can only say, it's so nice when you see this color melt. I mean,
yeah.
How the fuck do you know it's going on?
You don't really understand, you know?
But yeah, it was really cool looking, man. And the finished product.
Yeah. But
I was amazed.
To butcher the description once again, though, it's like they take just like regular paper that you would draw on.
Any kind of paper.
Really. Any kind of newspaper. And just go out and pick you some flowers or grass or whatever you want to do. And then I'm not sure the chemical that she was using. And then you brush that chemical over the plant and over that paper. And then you take it out in the sun, let it cook a little bit under some glass.
Yeah.
Then you rinse it with water and you got a product.
It's like, I don't know if you would call it like a silhouette almost, in a way.
That's exactly how she put it. Silhouette, yeah, that's a very good description. So, like, that chemical turns the paper blue, and then all that's left is kind of like a clear silhouette of what was there. Yeah.
So cool.
And so, like, some people came by and they did a little workshop, and some of them, it really turned out pretty cool for the first time.
No, that was a pretty cool thing to do. It was very interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm glad you took me up on going out there, man. It's I always like showing people what the McGowans have going on, you know.
It amazed me, dude. Like I was telling you, man, we were out there, and I'm like, you don't hear no road noise.
No.
See no power lines.
Yeah.
Nothing. You don't see nothing but nice trees and...
Got a little pond.
You
got some trails on the back end that you didn't see.
Yeah, well, I saw somewhere there was trails going off in the woods, you know, where we parked. And I'm like, wonder what they got cooking up
back
there.
And you get to step into the mind of what Joe and Joseph have going on.
Whatever they got going on up there, buddy.
Yeah, they're cooking.
They are cooking something. I like it.
Yeah, it's crazy art. I got to show you that.
Yeah.
That he showed me that international piece, like the first time I went out there to interview him and Joseph.
Yeah.
The first time, and like, dude, I must have stood there and looked at it for like, you know, 5-10 minutes. Just, you could break it down in just blocks.
Each little part, dude. Every inch, you could see something different.
Yeah. That's fun, and I've done that a few times in the past to where like do a collaboration piece like that.
Yeah.
So I've done that with like 2 or 3 art. It wasn't anything to that degree, obviously. I'm not that detailed or talented, but like if you get to working with someone who is, you can kind of lead to a crazier direction with a different shape
whichever way you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So draw with your friends.
Yeah, do it. It's fun. I watched when I was doing. You know, I used to do tattoo conventions. They would do art fusions, and it would be every artist would throw a little piece on to a canvas, and they would auction it off at the end of the convention. That was always pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get all the artists that were there at the convention to add a little piece or, you know, something.
Speaking of, like, someone who should sit in with us, and you could definitely co-host this while we're talking about tattoos, we ought to have Biz come sit down with us.
Man, I have tried to talk to
him.
I'll try him again. He's just like, hey, ain't nobody ever approached me. I'm like, what do you think I'm doing, man?
Yeah, you're being approached.
You're being approached right now.
If you're listening, you are approachable.
Yeah, you are being approached when I'm like, hey, man, we're going to record tonight if you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's me saying, dude, come over and be with us.
Yeah, come over, hang out.
Come and talk about some stuff.
I think that would be fun. Not only like talk about like the tattoo world, but I mean also like I like talking to Biz. So,
he's a wild guy, man. He's a lot different than what you would think.
He's got some ideas.
Taking them at face value is a lot different than the guy you actually meet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like he was like a suggested friend on, you know, social media for a long time. And then when Dylan Scott, he did that video with the, you remember the Deaf Rhinos? And he had Biz dress up as a clown and try out with the stand-up bass.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I really, like, think about Biz when I think about Biz. I was like, that was such a good little role. That was funny.
Yeah, dude, he's he's good with that shit. He'll be doing something crazy and he won't even know it. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
He gets a lot of side eye looks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, what was it, earlier with Joe and them. I think we were standing outside and we were talking about the process and how long it takes. I can't imagine that.
Oh, just with like...
any piece he works on, it looks like it just takes so much time.
I mean, just the bumblebee that you have right there. Look at the detail on like the... on the head, and then the torso, and the abdomen, and the wings, and look at the background, you know.
And it's anatomically correct. The background is wild in itself. I'm amazed. I'm amazed, really.
I've got a lot of his prints of like of the artists that are artwork that I have. I've got a couple of portraits that were done of me that I need to give to my mom because I think it's kind of weird to have a portrait of yourself. I don't display it, but it is kind of strange.
It's kind of like having, you know, a picture of yourself in your house and you're the only one that lives there. You know, you got the glamour shot in the corner.
Yeah.
With the thinker pose.
The bald fist under the chin.
Turtleneck.
Yeah.
Gold chain.
You remember, like, when they, the Fauci documentary? The National Geographic did.
Oh no!
It showed him like sitting at his desk, and he had a picture of himself on his desk, and I about died laughing.
Well, you know what kind of person you were dealing with at that point.
He's a damn narcissist.
Yeah, you knew what you were dealing with right then.
Yeah, just to troll myself, I should like go hang it, like, I don't know, just hang it right above the doors. It's the last thing I see before I walk out.
Yeah, it's the last thing I see before I walk out every day. It makes me happy.
You're really into yourself, huh?
I mean, I'm the best guy I know, you know?
But a lot of those, I've got to get framed and I want to get hung up because I might just bring them over here just because they're so psychedelic and it would kind of...
It would match the motif. And then when we get the Patreon going with the video...
Good plug. So this is what we're thinking is like this is going to become the room.
Yeah, this hopefully. Is the podcast room we're working on, yeah. And, my dining room.
Yeah, and we'll be able to... Maybe a two-shot, but I'm thinking a one-shot just to get started.
Just to get
rolling.
Started with a one-shot,
and
yeah.
It'll be behind the Patreon paywall, and we'll have a call number, and you can call in and interact with the show.
And just hang out and talk shit and tell us when we're wrong, tell us when we're stupid.
Which is quite often.
All the time.
Yeah. We're not doing this to be right.
Yeah.
I'm doing this to be entertaining.
Yeah, I did it to tell you that the aliens are taking your babies.
Yeah. Okay, Alex Jones. They're making the frogs gay.
Yeah. The aliens are here to take your babies.
I think Birds Aren't Real is probably my favorite.
That's so wild. But it is. I mean, it's not too far.
And like
you were
living up there in Memphis for a time where it started.
Yeah, I was seeing bumper stickers and all the,
I want to say it was down in Mobile. There was a photo of a Birds Aren't Real billboard, so the movement is growing.
It's growing, man. I mean.
Might have been Birmingham, I'm not sure.
I'm, you know, I still question some birds.
Yeah, I mean, it started out as like, well, they said the pigeon.
Yeah, pigeon. Now, pigeons are thugs, dude.
Yeah.
Every pigeon I ever met was a thug.
And I'll tell you this, when I lived down on the coast, like, the seagulls.
They're thugs, too.
Yeah.
They're more hardcore thugs than pigeons.
They're like pirate thugs.
Yeah.
Because they're coastal.
They'll come at you even with a peg leg, man. They'll rip it off and stab you with it.
I've seen it. I've seen them scoop up a baby. I've seen it.
Yeah, no, it happens.
Yeah. Last Thursday. Seagulls. Hide your kids.
Are serious business, man.
Yeah. Don't trifle them. Don't bring your french fries on the beast. Give them aspirin, just like the good Lord intended.
I remember I was sitting at Williams-Sonoma, and this pigeon came walking up. And I'm like, what's up, pigeon? And he kind of, you know, threw his head up at me and grabbed his cigarette butt and walked off.
Huh.
Cigarette butt hanging out of his mouth.
Oh, he's thugging.
Thug
life.
That's just Memphis, though, you know. You gotta have a little thug in you up there.
Yeah, one of the old apartments I used to live in, someone was telling me, it's like, you know, maybe not throw the cigarette butts out there in the lot. It's like, why? I mean, it's the birds are picking them up and building nests out of them. I think it's good for them.
Yeah, Yeah, well.
Are they getting the fuzz out?
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. They need that little nicotine to help them out, too,
I mean, they built that. They built it this quick. Yeah. I don't see the problem here.
Yeah, like, we don't need the bird shitting. Do you want the bird shitting on your car, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get these birds off the power lines.
Mm-hmm. You were doing a community service.
Yeah.
Throwing your cigarette butts out in the parking lot.
Yeah, now when it comes to straws in the ocean, I ain't got no fighting that because I don't use straws.
I try to not use them. I try to.
Have you ever tried a metal straw?
I've had one. I like the silicone ones.
Silicone? Yeah. Okay, that'd be a whole lot better than the paper. You have a paper straw?
I don't like the papers.
Absolute trash.
They had the paper at some places up there in Memphis already. Because, you know, they got the Mississippi River right there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had paper straws at a lot of restaurants. Some of them were good. Like, I went to this Chinese restaurant up there.
I always just thought, like, if you want to get away from straws, quit giving them.
I like what Starbucks did.
What did they do?
They gave the wide mouth
cup,
so you pour it into your mouth, basically.
Well, I mean, like, if you had any kind of lid to where it was a sippy.
Yeah, a sippy cup lid. That's all we need. We want to revert that childhood.
If it's got ice in it.
Yeah, you kind of fucked then. But
it would definitely need to be like a screw
put
hole.
A strainer on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the Yeti cups with the plastic lid, that they work.
Yeah. Because they got that little flap.
Yep.
I don't know.
We're over here trying to patent a new way.
Yeah, we are reinventing the wheel.
So you're 35 and you got a sippy cup.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I spill quite, probably more than I should as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Yeah.
So I think a sippy cup, you know, for me would be kind of ideal in some cases, man.
Like, well, I quit having to put the furniture covers.
Yeah, yeah.
I quit having to put those over the furniture.
What do they call the stuff that you used to put down when you would wet the bed? What was that stuff
called?
Oh,
the rubber sheets?
Yeah, what was it called? They called them something.
Oh,
God, I can't remember what it was called, though. I remember when I was a kid, you don't want us to put the blah, blah, blah on your bed.
I don't know.
God damn, what was it? What was it? I don't know. It's not worth Googling, though. So.
Yeah, I was thinking like just a rubber sheet, but it was like
it had a name, though. They had a name. Cannot remember what it was.
All right. I'm going to try to look it up real quick.
You know, we have the technology. If my technology was right here beside me, I'm just lazy.
I mean, I looked up just rubber sheets, and that's really all that come up. I was thinking maybe there was like a different name or maybe a company that specifically done it, but I don't see any.
You don't see any? It was a 90s, 80s, 90s thing, or probably before then, but that was when I remember hearing it called by a specific name.
Well, I mean, the other fancy thing, like I guess kind of the same concept would be like an anti-fatigue that you would put in front of your sink or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of material.
Mm-hmm. Just go with depends.
Okay.
And that way you just, you know.
Or what you put down for the puppies when you're trying to break them in the house, the little puppy pad.
Puppy pad, yeah.
Or you can do like you did on Mr. Deeds. And just put the newspaper down.
I was gonna recommend if you have a mess, just throw some newspaper on top of it. I did watch Mr. Deeds recently, just like the other night. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wait, that's Big Daddy, isn't it? It's Big Daddy.
Yeah, Big Daddy. Big Daddy. Yeah, not Mr. Deeds.
That was a good one. So, like, to me, you have Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy, or no, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, and Waterboy.
Yeah.
It's kind of in those three.
Yeah.
And then you have Deeds, Big Daddy, and there was one more that kind of fit right into that kind of strain of Sandler. He always seemed like...
He had a three part of everything, pretty much.
Or it was kind of felt like the same kind of scenario.
Same feel, yeah. Basically the same movie, just a little different.
And I gotta say, he plays a good idiot.
He is a good idiot.
And he's also like, he plays a good, I guess it would be kind of like an innocent fool. So someone who's, I guess, real naive. Like, you know, Mr. Deeds was just like an incredibly naive character.
Naive, yeah. And he, you know, he just lived his life. And I think a lot. I think Adam Sandler in his real life is that way. You know, we've talked about that.
Hear anything like he bad. He's just kind of doing his thing.
Anytime you see him, he's just dressed like a normal weirdo. You know,
dude is like just wearing sweats and
bad
shoes and got him a t-shirt.
Normal looking dude.
Likes basketball.
Never know if you didn't know who he was that he was a multi-millionaire, super famous guy.
Those movies aren't going anywhere. I think Tropic Thunder is another one.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's not, like, completely banned for, like... You couldn't necessarily
I'm
call
a
it
dude
black...
playing another dude.
Yeah. You wouldn't necessarily just call it blackface because it was, like, a...
whole black body.
A whole black body. And,
but, yeah, that wouldn't fly now.
Definitely not.
And you know what trips me out? The people that don't... that are all about not letting things fly love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Why? You motherfucker, it goes against everything you like. It goes against everything you're
about. I
think
that was the point of it.
And I'm like, why do you like it? It's not, it's making fun of you, really. Mm. Not, you know. It's making fun of the not, like, what do you call them? I don't want to be mean. Soft, snowflakey type people.
Well, not only that, I see it as... it's almost like it would be okay if I'd done it, and then when I succeeded on it, I would pull up the ladder and, like, to where no one else could get in through this. Like, you see a lot of comedians do. Like, I mean, Sarah Silverman or who's the his name just popped in. Howard Stern.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a radio guy. I mean, they both done blackface. No one ever gave them, said anything about it.
No.
It just depends on who you are.
Who you are and how it's portrayed.
Yeah.
If it's portrayed comical.
I mean, think about Justin Trudeau. He's like the leader of Canada. He's done it, like, a lot.
Yeah, he's done
it. He really, like, I think he keeps the black shoe polish, like, just ready.
Just ready.
Oh, Halloween?
All right. Black facing it up, guys.
Yeah. Well, so this guy, he gets away with it.
Well, you know, I think it's like with everything. I think it's the way you present it.
Yeah.
You know, if you present it, like, if you come about it being weird... it's gonna come off as weird.
Yeah.
If you're just like doing it and just being.
Did you ever watch? I think the guy's name who run it. His name was I think like Harvey, but it was like Epic Mealtime. It was like a YouTube channel to where like I don't know how successful as long as it was, but I was definitely guilty for watching most of the videos. But all they would do is like just supersize everything like. Okay, they're making a burger. Yeah. They would go to McDonald's and order like 1,000 of nuggets and 1,000 quarter pounders and da 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 all the way out, right? And then stuff this burger with other burgers and then like turn it into like a quesadilla burger and then throw bacon all over it and you know just
a heart attack way to happen, yeah.
Yeah, and but like the Harvey or Harley, like his name, he went as blackface back like in 2007. I mean, that was back when it was, you know, okay. I guess
it wasn't so, you know, back then. You know, there was a definite shift. I would say 2015.
And with comedy, man, and like I think we're somewhat getting a little like. I don't know if the pendulum is just swinging back the other way and it's not going to do any good. It's just going to keep swinging back and forth and getting worse and worse and worse. But when I watched the SNL monologue that Dave Chappelle did, like...
I was watching it last night, actually.
Very, very brave.
Very brave.
And he treaded on every tough subject.
Every one.
But, and I hear, like, those comedians and, like, it's kind of weird to me, like, Dave Chappelle would headline, you know... I think he's bigger than Saturday Night Live. You know, that's what a New York or L.A. comic does, like, when they're trying to break it, is, like, you get into SNL. You don't, like, you're already Willis. Does that make sense? Like, I wouldn't, ask, like, if I was Bill Burr and I got invited to do SNL, I probably wouldn't do it. I was like, what would that do for me, you know?
I'd host it if I was established.
Okay, but you wouldn't be, like, on the staff.
I wouldn't do anything. Skit or anything.
Yeah, because I mean, like Burr in his own right, he's got his cartoon shows.
Yeah,
he puts out good stand-ups.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle had Chappelle's show forever, and I love hearing him talk about how he said that wouldn't work today. You could not do that today.
Could not have the Chappelle Show.
And then, you know, you had the replacement with Key and Peele, but it wasn't as edgy.
Yeah, well, they did not push the envelope as much as Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
They tried to make it risque, but they didn't, you know. So it was safe. They played it safe the whole time.
And that would be the difference to me, like, between Ridiculousness and Daniel Tosh. Is like, Daniel Tosh was edgier. Yeah, he did do sketches as well, yeah. But Ridiculousness was like, I would say for the most part, it's child friendly. It's family friendly. I wouldn't let my nephew watch Daniel Tosh. You know?
Up until 2018, they were family friendly.
And they got a little more.
It's a little more now. Oh. It's a little different now.
Is it have? Okay, so when did Tosh quit doing Tosh.0? Was it two, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years, about the time that Ridiculousness started kind of getting stepped a little up. More.
So they kind of took the field all the way over?
Yeah.
That's crazy, like, when you have a formulaic show, and maybe it wasn't, like, Key and Peele, like, okay, we got this sketch comedy show, and Comedy Central was like, oh, yeah, we just lost Chappelle's show.
We need it another works. Two black guys, better than one.
I mean, you had so much talent on Chappelle's show. And then before that, like Sanford and Sons.
I love one of my favorite fucking shows of all time, Sanford
and Sons. I'm a huge Seinfeld guy.
I like Seinfeld. I was more of a Frasier. I like Frasier.
Seinfeld is one of the only shows like in that genre where you have a laugh track. If if you take the laugh track off, it's still funny.
Yeah. It's like we were talking about the Big Bang Theory. If you take the laugh track away from the Big Bang Theory, I watched it on mute one time and just read captions.
Oh, it sucks.
I'm like, this is unfunny. This is not funny at
Same
all.
Same with Friends. Friends
yeah,
wasn't.
Friends is not funny at mm-mm. all.
And, you know, the Office doesn't have a laugh like track, but it's very dry.
I don't like it. And I like dry humor, but I don't like The Office. It's too weird. It's too weird.
Did you get through season one? Season one was like it's a rough start.
I think that's why I never really gave it a chance after season one. I'm like, this shit's weird. I like the UK version.
But that is, what's his name?
I like that dude, though. I can't think of his name. Got the beard.
Gervais.
Yeah, Gervais.
Yeah.
Anthony Gervais.
Ricky, isn't it?
Ricky. I'm thinking about Anthony Bourdain.
Could be either one.
No, Anthony Bourdain did, you know, all the cooking and travel shows and stuff.
That's a good plug, dude. Cobb showed me that show.
I like that dude.
The first one that he showed me was, I think, the one where he went to Nashville, and then he played the one where he went down to, like, deep
in
Louisiana.
Okay, oh.
And then we watched some of the foreign shows.
Yeah, the foreign ones are good. I haven't watched any of the ones in the U.S.
Shoot, they were good. When he was, because he was, not only was he just doing, like, the food there, he was, like, capturing the culture. So, when he was in Nashville, like, he kind of went off the road a little bit. He didn't, like, go directly to, like, a Blake Shelton or someone. Like, he saw out kind of, like, a more of a, you know, like a not-on-your-radio kind of person to sit down and talk to about the music scene. And
well, that's cool. At least he didn't go grab fucking, you know, Blake Shelton or Luke Bryan.
Oh, well, nothing against those guys.
No, they're doing their own thing.
Yeah. I mean, you like what you like, but yeah. I mean, I would rather, like, you sit down with, like, a Margot Price or who is, like, definitely star power. But
I am really intrigued right now with the fourth Hank Williams.
Okay.
I like his stuff.
Is he doing the same thing that his 1, 2, and 3 done, or is he like?
He's doing music.
I thought it was more. Is it more hip hop or
more like 3 than any of the others?
Okay.
And more like 1. You know, more like senior than any of the others have been too.
That's impressive that it's kind of stayed in the family for 4 generations. I haven't heard 4 any of his, but yeah. Senior, junior, 3. Like I really do enjoy all their stuff, and you can definitely tell who their daddy was, right?
Oh yeah, you can definitely tell who they are.
So the bloodline is strong. That
they all got that same, you know, like, huh? Like, I don't want to call it a whiny voice, but it's
that's very honky tonk.
Yeah, it's very, very traditionally country voice.
Yeah.
And yeah, 4's got the same voice, just heavier, punk, rockier music.
Mm-hmm. I like...
More like Three in that realm.
I can see that. I was trying to think. It's been out for some time. But I blared it for a while. It's called Make Me a Believer. It's got Yellow Wolf, and he's working with Shooter Jennings. So like Waylon's son?
Yeah, Waylon's son's good and too, yeah.
Like, you know, traditionally Yellow Wolf is... He's a rapper.
Yeah, he's
But this is guy. Like, this is rock and roll, and yeah. Shooter is playing the keys for him on this record.
Okay, that's cool.
But Make Me a Believer was like the first single that they released. I'm sure the rest of it's out by now, but yeah. I would definitely check that out if you're into that outlaw country slash yeah. kind of a little more rock and roll.
Yeah, a little more rocky type country. Yeah. I like Shooter Jennings a lot. He didn't follow too close to his dad's footsteps.
No, but he's extremely talented.
Extremely
talented. I had a guy, Kevin Sco, he's from France. He came over here to America years ago. He started in Los Angeles, and that's where he met Waylon and Shooter.
Okay.
And became friends and actually played with Shooter in some of his previous projects. And now it's Guitar Frenchy is his, if you look him up. Like on Apple Music or Spotify, but he focuses on like the blues, and it's very like, not only is it you hear hints of Mississippi, but it's really the style that Texas took the blues.
Texas blues,
yeah.
I like the more rocky blues.
Yeah, it would be like a Gary Clark Jr. or kind of that style.
I got you. I like that.
You ever seen Gary Clark live?
I mean, yeah, probably.
I've had a couple of friends tell me it's definitely worth the experience. And I was like, you know, I always wanted to go see it live because I don't own any of Gary Clark's CDs or records or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the rare times I'm like, that song is just too long.
You know? See that, you know, I'm down with the long, jammy songs, man. I like it.
You like a 5-minute solo?
I'll dig it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I like them.
Now, granted, like thing about it, like Gary is that good, and yeah. I like to listen to Gary's playing. But it's like after I've heard the song for 3-4 minutes, I'm ready for the next.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more jammy, long guitar solo stuff is better.
Well, for yeah, a this live is more like situation. It's more like a Van Halen, and I think it would be great live because you kind of get to watch him.
Yeah, you'll get to watch him go through all the.
And he'll have more of a band to where it's not just so guitar centered, you know. Yeah.
And that's why, man, I hate to say it, but I judge a lot of musicians on their live performance more over the
album. It's the only way to go.
It's the only way to go, man. Because if they can't perform their song live, it's not going to be... I mean, if it's great on the record, it's not going to be good live.
Turned and I just couldn't be found to
just want to say that I appreciate you putting my favorite television station on for me.
CNN? Yeah, you liked that, didn't you?
That was good.
I was going to wait and see how long it took you to figure it out.
That was good.
Put that on where you could check it out. See your favorite characters.
Oh, it's my favorite people on the television.
I love them too, man. That blonde lady. She looks just like a reptile.
Oh my gosh. I put it on in the background just whenever I'm doing. I just put it on mute. Just to see the headlines and whatever they're...
Whatever they're spewing off.
Whatever they're trying to make me care about.
Yeah, whatever they're saying. What was it even on? It was something about Trump.
That's exactly it. You think that's their ticket?
I think it was, we're going to bash Trump for a minute.
A minute?
They
did that for, they've been doing that for like 7 years now.
We're going to bring on somebody else from the Republic. Well, they're the GOP now, you know. So they're going to bring on the person, whatever his name is, running against him or trying to be elected as
the governor of Arkansas.
Yeah, governor of Arkansas. He's a real...
Strangely enough, I remember his first name, but not his last. His first name was...
Azza something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool.
They look like your typical, like, rhino.
Straight Republican motherfucker.
Yeah.
But he looked like, to me,
what
honestly,
do you think about the idea of, like, the uniparty? You think that's a big thing? Like, they want us to think, you know, they're at odds, but in fact, they just work together.
I mean, it'd just be them finally telling us the fucking truth. If they finally said, we're one party,
you think
guys.
So? Yeah, it's like, psych.
Psych, we've been fucking with y'all this whole time. Yeah. We're just one party. Yeah, no, that's it.
Follow the money.
It would be them finally being honest
for
5 minutes.
What's going on around here?
Yeah. I'd have to change the channel. I'd go to watching TBN.
These dudes are telling the truth.
Trinity Broadcasting Network would be my new channel.
Okay, imagine this news channel, let's just say, the Truth Network or whatever pops up, and like they just tell the truth, and it's like the truth is so outrageous or so scary, it just is like...
People think it's satire.
Yeah,
people would think it was satire.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this world?
No, if you knew the truth... It would come off as satire.
I mean, that's...
Hearing about the... Katrina, was that her name?
Karina.
Hmm. She, her talking about the housing in Belgium.
Berlin?
Where?
Berlin.
Berlin, yeah. You know me, short-term memory problems.
Yeah, 0 for 2.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Hell yeah.
Keep trying. Go on.
Their housing problems over there, man, that was wild to me. It's how they have rent control, but it's not really rent control.
Well,
you're showing me in that video with China, dude. What the fuck? They're being locked into their houses.
There's a lot going on in the world that really...
And we're bitching about having to pay a lot for housing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little put things into perspective for you real quick.
Well, I'm telling you, there's nothing better that one can do than to leave their own country and go to another and just get a real feel for what it means to live there. And I guarantee you, like, majority of the time, if you're coming back to the United States, that's your home country, you're going to have a little humility about you. But, like, that catchphrase, you know, first world problems.
Yeah.
Really is a thing.
No, it's an absolute thing. And I've never even left the country for any amount of time, really.
Yeah. I mean, I've been out to some villages to where, this is on the sides of mountains, they didn't have electricity. They were still living, you know, 1600 style or whatever.
And, you know, we
just stupid good at farming.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
and I just lived off of land, you know.
If we could go back to that kind of lifestyle, I think we'd be a lot better off, much better.
The population would shrink dramatically because think about how much we take for granted, like just DoorDash. That's how very easy it is to get food. I mean, we could just have someone like bring Popeyes.
Whatever you want, right now.
To the door. Well, now, imagine like it was a dystopian nightmare to where we were forced to go back to living the old way. Do you think that someone who is like, oh yeah, dude, I just got to go down to the grocery store. There's not going to be a grocery store.
No.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
So now if you want something, you have to go out and get it.
Yeah.
That creates a lot of chaos, I think. That'll make someone get violent, especially if they got to put bread on the table for some little ones.
And especially if you're like, you don't have any means. If you don't have any means to, you know.
That would be, it would be an absolute total dystopian nightmare. I had a big fear about that at the beginning of this year and late last year when I was seeing, that the world really wasn't forming. The way that it typically does, things were like shut down to where like countries were like, you know, telling the farmers, don't farm.
Yeah, sit at home.
Yeah, we'll pay you to sit at home.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how are we going to eat? What are we going to eat if they don't produce?
And we're running into that now. We're seeing that now.
You are.
And it's just beginning now with the prices increasing on the shelves and whatnot.
I mean, there's a lot of talk of it. Maybe it is conspiratorial. It doesn't seem to be, just looking at people. Someone from a different country, if they come here for any amount of time, I would say maybe a little over a month, they would put on weight. And I'm talking about 20, 25 pounds within that time. And then when they go back to their country, it would fall right back off. With all this high fructose corn syrup and the acetyls and like all these different... I mean, if you read the ingredient list to when you were going to a McDonald's or whatever else, I mean, you would still eat there, but, like, you might be a little more mindful, but, like, I'm really screwing myself up, right? Yeah. I mean, the food that we serve each other in this country is so packed with shit that your body doesn't know how to, you know, to process.
It's just junk. It's just trash left over. Your liver's got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sucks.
Working overtime there.
Yeah, your liver is putting in triple, sometimes quadruple duty. Because all the gross shit we eat.
I don't know. I really do like to think that, you know, the people in charge have our best intention in mind. But, like, that's such fairy tale shit, you know?
That's fucking comical.
It really does feel like they're just eugenicists and like they just want to...
We're the carbon they want to remove.
Yeah, it does kind of... Welcome to off the deep end. Here we go, slowly off into it, you know?
Yeah, no, we're the carbon they want to remove, man. They don't like us. They want this world to be for the elites.
Yeah.
Then the aliens will come and, you know, make everything better.
As you eliminate the plebes that you don't think are necessary for your survival... Because right now, they just keep getting caught over and over, and it keeps getting memory hoed. But, like, this New World Order shit with the Klaus Schwab thing and the G20 and G40s and all this shit. Like, all this crap keeps getting exposed, and, like, people just, like, cover their ears and eyes, and it's like,
nobody
la, cares. La, 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 la.
Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit care. About anything. Everybody wants to live in their own little fucking bubble.
Well, they will.
That's all they're going to do.
They're going to live in a pod. They are. They're going to get that.
Everybody, people are so self-absorbed now. All they care about is what's happening right in front of their fucking face. They don't give a shit about anything going on around them. Huh. Yeah, I'm fucking bitter at the world right now, buddy.
Bitter.
Yeah. And that's what, it trips me out, because everybody's like so, let's do this and be better and do better. That's not a cool face. What'd that taste like?
That's going to take some getting used to.
It's not what you were anticipating.
I have to be honest with you.
Very hoppy.
Oh, yeah. It's an Imperial IPA, and so let my nerdiness come out. Imperial IPAs are...
Like super IPAs.
Yeah, they are. They're typically very high in alcohol volume and hops, and I guess I didn't take that into consideration, but let me try it again.
Give it another taste. They go down better.
It's Depth Perception by Terrapin.
That's a good one. I like Terrapin.
It's an Imperial IPA, as I told you. And
you know, they've done an Imperial Stout now.
Yeah, that's kind of dangerous territory for real. It's on the box. They didn't put it on the can. I don't know what the APV is.
I think it's 9.1.
Oh, it's made in Athens. Shout out. Cool. Yes, I give it a scale 1 to 5. I'll give it a 4.
4?
Yeah. I'd definitely drink it again.
Okay, so it's got a
It wouldn't be like a stable, but it would be like a guilty pleasure, or one I would definitely go for.
Yeah. I mean, I remember those days when I had the beer that I would like, I'd have it for a special occasion. But I don't think
Blue Moon, dude.
That's like glorified Bud Light to me.
It truly is, but I am a sucker for the orange slice.
Yeah.
And I do like having a Blue Moon with like a burger at like a the Walk-On's place in Starkville, or Buffalo Wild Wings with some buffalo wings or whatever it is.
I was going to say, back when we used to go and hang out at Applebee's, I would drink Blue Moon because it was like
one of the best
beers they had on tap, you know?
It's good with food.
Yeah, it's better than Bud Light, but it's not heavy like a real beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your go-to?
Like when I would be out drinking?
Yeah.
At like just a drinking beer, Coors Light.
Mine's PBR. If they got it. If not, it's Miller Lite.
Yeah, Coors Light.
And I would argue, like, sure, you could say that Miller is a Pilsner and that Coors isn't, but they're literally the same thing to me.
Yeah, they're the same shit. Every light beer is the same.
I disagree with that. Like, Natural Light and Bud Light, Bud Light is the absolute worst. It kind of makes me feel bloated. Like, if I drink 3 or 4 kind of fast, I get, like, fucking full.
Why would you ever want to do that?
I'm just saying, if the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
But if I were to do that with a Coors or a Miller, they're not filling. It's like a Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, they're like an Ultra. Yeah, they just got more calories than an Ultra.
Only one.
Really?
Dude, Miller Lite has 96.
Huh. Who would have known?
It's on the box.
I don't pay that shit.
Oh, come on, dude. That's what they do their commercials about. There's that jingle, like when they're stunting on Michelob, like, it's only one more calorie. Who cares? Because, you know, they're like, Michelob Ultra's like 95, and Miller Lite's like 96.
So it's like a very, very vast difference.
Yeah, dude.
Well, that's like the people that drink the Ultras and then they drink an 18-pack of them.
I tell you what, you drink like, I'm guessing, I wonder if that's on this can. And I doubt it is, but. Oh, they got the address of the bar. That's cool. But, like, if they had, like, the calorie count of, like, a Imperial IPA, I bet it would be, like, 300.
300, 400. Yeah, no.
I was trying to explain that to somebody earlier today, and I really couldn't like get the message across. I was like, it's just like if you look at the ingredients and what all else goes into this, I was like, there's no way you're not pounding like 250 to 400 calories of beer.
Yeah,
there's no way.
You're drinking a sandwich every beer, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's exactly it.
It might just be like a mayonnaise sandwich, but you drinking a sandwich every beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're drinking real beer, you're drinking a good sandwich with, like, bacon and shit.
That's a hell of a way to put it.
Yeah. It's got, like, double the meat, lettuce, and bacon.
It stacks on you, too. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people, you can tell by looking at them, that if, like, their body build of their like stomach to upper torso changes. Like I believe if they drink like craft beer long enough, you can kind of see like the transformation. It's like they get built like a keg.
Yep. Yep. It's the craft beer keg.
It seems to be. It'll just kind of it really bloats you, man.
Yeah. It's heavy, dude. It's so heavy. I've never seen a light craft beer.
They do exist.
I'm sure they do. Like Ghost River, the...
I bet those sours are not so bad. Maybe. Do you think there might be worse, like the sour?
I don't know. Every, you know, people, the kids these days...
I kind of rate calories when it comes to, like, I don't know, the alcohol per volume. It's like, surely it's going to have more of just everything, right? If it's, if your typical beer is like 4.5.
Yeah.
And you're drinking a, this is like a 9.1.
Yeah, you're drinking.
One,
yeah.
It's got to be, it's got to be at least double of that, right?
Yeah.
I would, that's my, that's probably bullshit, but it checks out.
I remember when I drank, I would drink Hopsecutioners from Terrapin.
Oh, that'll get you.
They're like 9.3.
Yeah, those, that's like an Andy Gator.
Yeah, they're big time too.
I think they're at Terrapin.
I drank, yeah, they are.
Dude,
they're either a Terrapin
or a Beta. We were out at I was staying with a friend of mine down in Foley, and we went over to his sister and brother-in-law's house for a cookout. And I think it was Sid, or I don't remember like who showed up with a four pack of, or who bought the four pack of Andy Gators. But me and his brother-in-law said the exact same thing at like the exact same thing. Opened up the cooler and saw a four pack of Andy Gators, and I was like,
"Who? Somebody's planning on getting fucked up?
Who had a bad day?
Yeah,
you know, like
fucked up. Today.
Someone here is on a mission.
Yeah,
you know. I was like, "Woo! I hope you brought that as a share pack.
Yeah, you brought everybody want it. Anybody want an Andy Gator?
Oh, dude, I got obsessed with those damn snake handlers.
Yeah,
it's like a double IPA.
Yeah.
Those damn things are dangerous. Like, you drink two, that'll change your whole demeanor.
I drank Timber Beast for a while, too.
I tell you what, you drink two of them, if you have a hard time talking to girls, you won't after that.
Hell no, you'll loosen up.
Yeah, you'll be real loose. You'll be loose as a goose.
Loose as they come, as they say.
I would recommend you not to drive that night.
Yeah, you need a driver. I always recommend you need a driver.
That's just good advice.
Yeah.
I wish I had, like, the more you know, like the little jingle.
That would be so great.
Do-do-do-do. Porch Talk supports not drinking and driving.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I did my fair share of it. It's on record. I can discuss it.
I had... I don't know if I told this story or not. I don't even know if it's that funny. I'll give a shot. We were leaving the Alabama game years ago. I was probably 20. And we didn't... I had three tickets to the game. We had season tickets. We usually have four. We had three this time. So I was taking two guys who had never been to a game, to the game. These are pretty good seats. We're heading up to Tuscaloosa, and, like, at that time, I knew a whole lot of people who, like, tailgated at the quad.
Yeah.
So, we stopped right when you get into Newtonville at that time. We were taking the back way in. It's about halfway from Kennedy to Tuscaloosa. It's about probably 25 minutes to Northport from Newtonville. At that time, they had a little hole in the wall. Gas station where you could buy some beer. It was right on the Tuscaloosa and Fayette County line. And I started buying beer there when I was 16 years old. So I had a long history of like knowing those.
Yeah.
So I told the boys, we're going to take the back way. We'll buy a case of beer. And we need to have that case of beer done by the time we get to Northport. You hear me?
Yeah.
So we were going down 171. 8 beers apiece, crushed them before we got to Newport. Great buzz, stopped in the next gas station. Went in there. My buddy, he was 21. He went in there and got the beer, got another case, got two cases. Bag of ice, filled the cooler up. And away to the quad we went. Got absolutely shit hammered. Obviously, it was already proper when we arrived.
Yeah, you had already had enough when
and
you got
so,
there.
And so I looked over at the boys and I said, well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a good time out here. I'm about to go... walk around to a couple of these tents to the people I know and give them a discounted price on the ticket, or I'm about to go scalp it on the street. And I just walked over to my buddy's tent. I was like, $50, you want to go in? Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I was like, I just sold my ticket. Y'all can go if y'all want to go. I'm staying here. I don't need to be in that stadium. I would definitely be too much.
Yeah.
So we all ended up staying out there and just tailgating. And it's after the game, we're leaving, and the streets were shut down, and the cop was just working traffic at this four-way, right?
Yeah. Like,
you go, da-da-da-da, you go, you can go now. And I was just looking over, I was driving, and by the way, I was probably the most sober, which was a horrible thing to say at that time, because I should not have been driving. And this happened right in front of the cop that was directing traffic. I was looking over at them, and I was just talking. I wasn't really paying attention. And my foot kind of came off the brake, and I just kind of really bumped the car in front of me. And, dude, the cop is, like, here to you, like,
yeah,
that close, like 6 feet away. And he walks up. I rolled my window down. He said, "You good in there?" I said, "Golden." He said, "Y'all both look okay. Y'all just move on. All right. Take a left, go down 15th Street. There's a guy in front of me in a Hummer being a jackass. So, red light comes up. I rear end him on purpose.
All right.
And surprisingly, really fucked his shit up. And my little Ford Ranger was like fine. It had just like a little paint scuff.
Yeah.
Like it couldn't have been no perfect. And I was like, oh, this rich asshole is about to fucking ruin my ass.
Yeah.
That dude hops out of the Hummer, basically falls out. He is shittier than I am.
Oh, fuck.
And I rode down the window and I said, "Hey man, don't worry about it, just go." And he said, "Sounds good." It just took off. And then we finally get to the location and in the parking garage. You're like underneath the apartments and you have these like columns.
Yeah. Kind of like what we have here.
Yeah. Just a little bit bigger though, made out of concrete.
Yeah.
Parking next to one, I completely smashed the left side of my front bumper on that column and didn't stop, just kind of kept going and
kept going.
Really, really left a good dent in the support and the truck. But the night ended later with me taking the fire hydrant extinguisher off of the hallway of that apartment. I think we were on like the fifth floor. Sprayed it in my cousin's face, in my buddy's face, and then chunked it out into the parking lot. So I was definitely the man of the hour that night.
Yeah, you had a good night that night, man. What was the word? Felonious?
A felonious night.
Yeah.
And thank God when that thing went flying out in the parking lot that it did not hit a car. It like just hit the pavement.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, if you bust out a windshield. I'm like, that fucking topped it right there.
Yeah, I was like, if it's someone listening,
you still
like,
have warrants.
Dude, I was there that night. Yeah.
And my fucking windshield got busted. That month.
But that was like definitely like the worst night of driving that I had ever done, and got away with every bit of it.
I never got into any kind of accident drinking and got away with it.
Dude, I had a buddy, he's no longer with us, but he got away with like, I don't know if it was benzos or if it was Lortaz, painkillers, whatever he was into, but like he would take so many that, you know, he'd be behind the wheel, he'd just fall asleep.
And just not out.
And I remember toward the end of it all that he had driven his car through two gas stations. And one of them, he ran through it twice. Like, they fixed it, then he ran through it again.
Just for fun? Just like, why don't you fix this shit?
For fun? No, I don't think so. It's just like, it was just, I don't know how he always got pulled off the road, but it would just always be a gas station, it seemed like.
Well, I always hit car or houses. If I didn't...
You hit houses?
Yeah, if I didn't physically hit the house, I would hit a car into the house.
I've ran a vehicle into a house and did some structural. That it was accidental, dude. It was like the hill, real steep hill down into the carport, and This was a stick shift.
Oh.
And like I got halfway up that thing and it choked out.
Yeah.
And instead of just like hitting the e-brake and getting it like stopped, I tried to pop the clutch and like throw it back and go. Yeah. Did not work out. Like, ran into the front of the carport and like knocked some shit loose.
Yeah,
but I was sober for that. But it was just like it was a horrible fuck. Like, how do you have a 5-speed in this shitty driveway? Park this thing on the street.
Yeah, no shit. I was driving down 3rd Avenue one night, driving pretty fast here in Columbus, and hit a car, new car. It was a 2014 Honda Accord. I hit it so hard, it was parked on the street, knocked it back like 30 foot into a porch.
Shit, you played fucking car pong.
And then I hit it so hard, I ping ponged off of it and hit a Tahoe and knocked it off the curb. A foot and a half.
Was this a hit and run?
No, I didn't. There wasn't no way I was running. I mean, if I ran, it was going to be on foot. Because my car was totaled.
I was about to say, like, you're responsible for, like, a car, a house, and another car.
And a car and another, yeah. It was a lot of fun. My insurance did not like me.
I bet.
That's how I found out about liability limits and whatnot. We're only going to cover $75,000 worth of damage. Anything after that's on you, buddy. I'm like, oh, God.
That's not typical.
Yeah, you don't get to hear, most of your average human does not hear that conversation with their insurance company very often.
It's like, okay, you can hit a house and you're probably going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And then, okay, so that was just number one. Number two, I was driving pretty fast down College and got to where the railroad tracks are and the hump, sent my little yellow car flying, and spun around backwards in the road, ran up an embankment into a porch and tree.
Shit.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun, too.
You know what I'm amazed by just in this area alone? How many houses is at the wrong end of a curve, like to where someone could just run right?
Just wreck
right,
it, yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Like
living on the corner or something?
They didn't think these neighborhoods through very well.
Well, I don't think they thought people would be going this damn fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously people speed everywhere, but I think it's a worse problem here in Columbus than it is in a lot of places.
You think so?
I do. You know, I just came back from Memphis.
I think you'd be surprised.
Speeding's pretty rough up there, but the roads can handle it. Speeding's pretty bad down here, but the roads can't handle it. The roads can't handle somebody driving 60 miles an hour on a road that you're supposed to drive 40 on. Potholes and curbs and even the way the asphalt's paved.
That's something that'll definitely keep you honest if your road is shit. You can't go fast on it.
Yeah, you cannot go fast on a shit road.
You'll wreck your car.
If not wreck your car, you'll definitely be buying rims a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Front end alignments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mississippi, or that's what Columbus is known for, man. Potholes.
That's a fact.
It's not anymore. They're fixing them slowly but surely.
No, it's getting done. A lot of these streets are nice now.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus looking up from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Our infrastructure is actually getting better, unlike most
good
of the places
being,
in the country.
It's good to be inside you, Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbo.
It's still Columbo. It'll always be Columbo, man.
How did that start? Do you remember?
I don't.
I wanted the story behind that, because I only hear certain people call it that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, I remember it was always kind of called that back in the day.
What was your favorite iteration of this town? Like, because you know how everything seems to come and go. Like, this town will be, like, really hot for something.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of fizzles.
I think I like this one, what we got going on right now, the best so far.
And I think that's the thing about it. Like, you got different players in town, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of damn damage that can be done.
Yeah. And there, you know, a lot of good can be done, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah, well, yeah, you didn't mean actual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about, like, we can get a lot of things cooking.
A lot of things going on, yeah. A lot of things can happen. You get, like I've said many, many times, man, we are the people, we are the adults now. We are the ones that are supposed to make
it. Not only that, it's like, man, I consider, like, some of the people in this particular area, like, just in this community, like,
yeah,
just a little bit outside of where we're staying, there's a lot of shakers and movers. A
lot of them.
There's a lot of people who, like, they do shit.
Yeah, big time shit.
And if they ain't doing it, they are definitely helping fund it. You know, they're shakers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're in the midst of, I mean, I think we could do a lot of cool episodes.
Yeah, you met some cool people today.
Oh, dude, there's definitely some real. There's definitely some work to be done there.
Yeah, you know. It happens. That's the way things happen, though. That's the best way to make things happen.
It kind of, like, blew my mind because of, like, all the people that I really came in contact with. Today, I had Joe Hill. He's runs the entomology department at Mississippi State. And not only that, like, he's really into, like, I guess it would be botany with... And now I've met quite a few people who have experience in that field, and they're talking about, like, how certain breeds of grass and different types of trees and plants are going extinct in this area, or they're kind of migrating and becoming invasive, things of that nature. And so I think that would be very interesting porch talks to do. And just
you don't see as much kudzu as you used to back in the day.
That's a fact.
Kudzu used to be taken over. My grandfather used to tell me how he was afraid it was going to take over, and now you don't.
My grandpa used to talk about that too.
He said, "Kudzu going to take over."
Yeah, and it was like so crazy because I'm sure you heard the same story, and I'm not saying anything about the country at all, but like that kudzu didn't, like, it was brought from China.
Yeah, it's invasive Chinese species.
And we had some on our property forever, and you know, you would think you would keep it down, like you could get it by the root, like dig it up, burn it.
It don't matter.
No, it didn't matter. It was coming right back.
Roundup didn't matter.
No, Roundup didn't matter. And then, you know, after fighting it and hoeing it and like treating that bit of land like it was a damn garden, finally got it to go away. Had to really just deconstruct that land.
Work the land.
To get it out.
Yeah.
And now, like you say, like either the timber that, it had invaded, has been cruised now, and it's gone, and it's just like a field now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, you know. I think they were thinking about, like, earth slides and mud slides. If they put, like a viney plant like that on a hillside, it would help
hold it together.
Hold everything together with roots. But, I mean, that root system... of that bullshit plant ain't deep.
No, it's not.
It's deep. Not no structural. It's a weed.
More of your plant is above the ground than it is under the ground.
And I'm talking about like just deep. Going around like a damn watermelon vine.
Yeah, and it's nothing. It's just, you know, like maybe 2 inches thick.
Kudzu, damn, dude.
You don't see it no more, man. It's gone. Or it's leaving. You see it where it was put, and that's it.
I can show you some kudzu. But you gotta go.
You gotta go out to see it.
There's still some in the Black Prairie area of Alabama.
There's still some in Coal Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coal Fire, that's a good plug. Yeah, sure. But yeah, I do definitely agree, especially when it comes to like roadside where it used to be like really predominant. Not so much now.
Not so much
anymore. I do agree with that.
And I don't know why. Like you say, either the
Have you noticed, or is it just me? Not only that, but there's too many damn deer. I wish like deer season was like just year round. Mm-hmm. You just kill the shit out of them.
Mm-mm. You can't do that, man.
Oh, I would definitely be down for that. But have you noticed? This is just me. I've turned into an old man.
I am an old man. I know that.
And now I do like bird watching.
I do like the birds, yeah.
And so there are breeds of birds that I don't see in this area as much as I used to, or not at all. I don't really see crows that much anymore.
You gotta be out. You gotta be out to see them. Out. And they don't live around here, man. I don't see no crows in town.
Wonder what they see.
I don't know, man.
Because you know, crow's a damn smart bird. It's like a raven, you know, it's kin to it. Those are smart son of bitches.
Yeah. They're probably one of the smarter birds there are, really.
That's why, like, when your bird ain't real shit, like, some of my favorite animals are bird. I wish I had, like, a damn hawk. But, like, just had, like, put my
just
arm
be hanging out with you?
Just, like, kicking it with me. Be like, I would, like, write you a letter and, like, my hawk deliver it.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
wouldn't have to fly too far right now.
Yeah. Like, it was just kind of like, kind of come back. That's kind of like an owl.
Or whatever. Yeah, whatever the fuck a hawk does. Yeah, I don't want to try it.
A velociraptor.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Or you know.
And then that goes with, you know, that's if you believe that birds are real.
Have you seen like the way that the falcons, the things that the damn the falconers?
Yeah, I know a falconer.
Like to where they keep that like, damn little mask on that dude. He looks
and
like
then
a
they
total.
Take the mask off.
Oh, he's like looking around. Yeah, he's exploding.
Have you ever talked to Larry Priest about the doves?
What's going on around here?
You know, Larry Priest has doves. He uses it at weddings and funerals and.
Oh yeah, and I heard like that property's for sale, and the dove business comes
yeah,
with it.
Comes with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's where they live. That's where those doves live. And when he sets them loose to fly,
that's where they go back.
They fly home. That's where they go back to. No matter where he lets them loose from.
Pretty impressive.
They go back there. He said when he first moved there, he tried to get them to leave, but they wouldn't leave.
Oh, so he inherited
he bought
that,
the property, knowing and just that. Inherited the doves.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
that's something wild to embrace. Like, could you imagine? Like, just I'm not saying anything about Larry because, like, I think he is a good embodiment of like a soul who would definitely do that for weddings or
yeah.
whatever the event, right? And it is kind of like a beautiful thing to kind of
see the doves fly. Away.
Fly, yeah. But could you imagine, like, if, I mean, just think about, like, the wildest stereotype you could think of, like a trucker bought that land. He just, or like a dove hunter. He bought that land, he just practiced with him, he'd release him, and boom, 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 boom.
I don't know,
You know, like, what do you think of another type person, like, who would inherit that land? It would be fairly funny.
Be like
someone owned the big snake.
Yeah, big snakes, big dogs, big mean dogs. You
yeah,
because you know dogs.
I mean, and I don't mean that like it would be funny, but like I mean, like it's incredibly. I mean, that's just how dark my humor is. It's like you couldn't have a worse match, you know.
Yeah, that's cool though. I think the falconers. Those birds, no matter how far they go, they always come back to your arm.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I think it was the movie The Mummy. The dude, he had the falconer.
Yeah. There's a.
I always thought that shit was badass.
I got
dude.
A buddy in Kentucky, man. He's got one. He's got a falcon.
I want to talk to that guy.
He's such a recluse, man.
It's just him and his falcon?
Him and his falcon and dogs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he lives
He's
out.
He's an animal man.
He lives out in a camper, dude, out in Kentucky.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cool-ass dude. He's got, like, two falcons.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. I'll say this, dude, man. Like, since I kind of been doing Porch Talk, even before that, it's like just meeting people with different walks of life that it's a little out there, but you got to admit it's pretty dope shit.
Yeah, you get to meet, man, when you're doing, like, seems like you never think in life that you'll meet some of the people that you meet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that you'll meet somebody that, because, like, we're from Alabama. We're from Little Podunk, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You never think you'd talk to somebody that's, like, world famous or internationally famous or...
Yeah.
You never thought you, when you were coming up, man, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you knew him when you were, you knew this person when you were younger and now they've, like, completely
blown up. We've had people, like, that have won Grammys and been nominated for Grammys as guests on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, whether, I don't know how much you put into, like, that, if it means anything, but, you know, some people it means a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, that's like working, when I worked at the Princess, we had a lot of people come through there and play that were good.
Those were the days.
National, you know, like nationally world touring, our artists would come through there to play just because they wanted to play at the Princess.
Oh, God.
We're not honking. No,
that is.
No. It's not. Squid Games, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, three questions to walk it out of the door.
All right.
That's CCS. Of, with, like, your thoughts, with taking it to Patreon, like, what do you think would give them an idea for a good exposure? Like, some of the most previous episodes that we've done with Mark would kind of give them an idea as, like, far as pushing envelopes, or what do you think the point of it is?
I think it'll give us a freedom that we don't get to have. You know, I pretty much go as far as I want to with Porch Talk, but you, I think it would give you more of a freedom.
Yeah, it definitely would, because I mean,
you have to stay pretty much neutral.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into controversial subjects, just because you're the host, and I think that would give you an avenue to be more open.
Yeah, it definitely would. And plus, like, I like the aspect of, like, a call in, because I've always...
I love the aspect of the call
in. Because, like, some of the live streams that we've done on Facebook, to where, yeah, like, people were writing,
would tap, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. See, and I, man, think it kind of helped build, like, an audience presence to where, like, oh, the shit, you know?
Some of my most fun times would, when I would get somebody cool call into the radio station. Somebody, you know, that actually had some knowledge about rock, you know, from, like, back in the day. Like, real life, real world knowledge from the time when, mm-hmm, some of the songs we would be playing would come out. I would love when they would call in and, like, give me that kind of insight, dude. You know, like, real world view of what was going on when this tune came out, man. That shit's awesome.
Alright. Question two. What is the best fast food restaurant?
Arby's, hands down.
Alright. Now, how do you classify a fast food joint? Do you consider, like, a sandwich shop? Because, like, I don't consider, like, Subway... Even if it's a Subway that has a drive-thru, I don't consider Subway fast food. I consider it like a sandwich shop.
That's a deli all day.
That's a deli, yes. Yeah. Like Jimmy John's, all that, not fast food.
That's,
like,
not fast food.
It's like you wouldn't call pizza fast food. It's a pizzeria.
It's a pizza. Yeah, it's pizza.
So, I would say probably Arby's is king.
Arby's has the best ingredients. It's the cleanest food, really, because they don't use any real bullshit. It's all... Like, you get french fries, they're all real potatoes. Mm. I mean, your cheese there is real cheese. They don't give you no American cheese.
Mm.
You know, I mean, not to dump on American cheese, but it ain't real. It's
American cheese is not, yeah, it's a cheese product.
It's processed cheese. And they don't give you that. They give you, cheddar or some sort of real cheese. And then their desserts, have you ever eaten any of the desserts, the turnovers and the whatnots?
Yes, I have. The cookies are good too.
Cookies are fantastic. The ice cream's good.
I got bit by a poison spider last night.
No shit. Where at?
Right there, you see it?
Yeah. Oh, it's got the ring around it. Got you. we're at. And you think it was here?
I don't know if it was at, in here or I don't know where. I just
I hope it wasn't in here. That fucking freaks me out, man. I had to burn this motherfucker to the ground.
I just got it. Okay, I can't get all the damn sap out of it.
The stuff. Yeah.
It's got. It's had a lot. I hate that. Well, this is the freak out.
Yeah.
It's fear factor. And after that, he licked his fingers that he got the puss out with.
And that would be what you would get on the Patreon, that kind of content.
No, not only that. I like what Mark, the idea is like a board game.
I like it, yeah.
Or, you know, we could play chess with the audience to where, like, we move a chess piece, and if they know, like, what, you know, because every square has, like, it's N6 or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
A1. You know, move knight one to L1.
Yeah.
And, like, play the audience as we talk.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if we had the audience for it, yeah. Right?
Just, well, all you got to do to get the audience is do it.
Yeah.
That's it. All it takes is to have people know that you're doing it.
In the first couple of times, yeah, it'd be kind of slow. And it might suck. But
have to call some friends.
Yeah.
Be like, man, you got a minute. Texting in folks.
Play ball with us, yeah.
But when it gets going, when people know that it's a real thing and we're doing it, then it'll take off.
All right. Never asked you this before on the podcast, and I've been doing it with some guests as of late. What was your favorite part about this interview? Or this episode?
This episode?
Cause this wasn't really an interview.
No, it wasn't an interview. It was a... I probably enjoyed when we were talking. Honestly, dude, the beer. Talking about the beer. Even though I don't drink the shit anymore, I still love it.
Yeah.
I still love it.
Well, it's a wild question, too. We only covered 38 topics tonight.
Yeah, the beer, man. The beer was my favorite.
Yeah, that was a good run.
Because
we did some good weaving, though.
I like...
Good weavers.
I like the weaving and the wobbling.
A typical off the deep end.
Running it.
Anything else to add or subtract? Hey, you can find the Patreon link on porch-talk.net if you're interested.
I want to go that way, dude. I think we should really fucking push with that.
And I would actually like, you know, like we do, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 episodes a week.
Yeah.
I would probably back down to just doing like an episode of Friday and then give people on Patreon like 2 extra episodes every week.
Yeah.
Not only that, they're video and they can be a part of it.
Part of it, yeah.
And then like we drop a typical episode.
In.
And then like maybe we do a Monday episode where like we have a pretty controversial topic that we didn't want
in
kind
of
public.
Yeah, the thing.
Or whatever the case, right? Or
we
really wanted like to be able for the audience to dial in.
We need you to help us out with this.
So. Yeah.
Because we're not informed. You should inform.
Yeah. Yeah, to get a little perspective and like...
Yeah.
And then Wednesday is like... or whatever day it falls on, just come up with some kind of day for like... It's game night, so like we're playing them at chess or like we're playing Sorry or whatever, you know, or
shoots and ladders.
Yeah, or whatever.
I'm just saying.
And just build it. Never Monopoly.
We're playing checkers.
Connect Four.
Yeah, Connect Four all day.
Yeah, but anyway, I think all that's good.
No, I want to get in it. We need to. We're getting the room set up.
Got the
stuff going on.
Ready.
Gonna have a record player soon.
I think all those ideas work.
And we're going to be kicking it.
We're going to see. So go join Patreon. And, like, I think you can do it for, like, 50 cents a month. It's not much. You can do it for a dollar.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's really nothing.
All right. Peace out.
Later. I clean out all my
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.